I'd like you to find your place in Leviticus chapter 24. I'll dismiss all the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds now. All 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, it's your time for your special class. I appreciate those working with you. God bless you for that. I want you to find your place in Leviticus chapter 24. It'll take me just a moment to get there. As the good Lord willing now, I'm going to conclude the doctrine of God tonight. And I know you've probably been waiting to hear those words. And I tell you, I'm enjoying this study on sound doctrine of the Word of God. And we've preached on the doctrine of the Word of God. And then we've been preaching on the doctrine of God Himself. And we've been looking at two major things about Him. First of all, we studied His nature, who He is, like He's holy, He's just, He's righteous. Then we've been considering His name. And we gave you 8 of those names to consider, but remember that there are over 300 names for God in the Bible. I only introduced you to 8 of them, and just kind of whetting your appetite to encourage you to go back and get more of them. And then tonight, I just can't get away from this thought, and I told our church this, I believe on Wednesday night, that the Lord was laying this on my heart and mind about how to conclude this doctrine of God, especially since we're talking about the names of God and just the different names that's been given to Him. You're in Leviticus chapter 24. I am going to Exodus chapter 20, and you just wait on me there in Leviticus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain." We're looking at this thought here about not taking the name of the Lord in vain. And let me say this to you tonight. Most of us have done it. And there may be a majority, I hope not, but there may be a majority tonight, at least some tonight, who are still doing it. And don't even realize it. Do I have your attention? Let me tell you something, friends. The name of God is a majestic name, a holy name, a righteous name, and it's never to be used in vain, ever. Let's pray together, and I share this thought with you. Father, would you bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we meditate on the names of God, just these different names that we've been describing, let us realize how we need to stand in awe of Him. We should bless and glorify His wonderful name over and over and over again. But many times this majestic name is carried through the mud, spiritually speaking, so to speak, and not given the reverence that He is so worthy of. In the third commandment, right here, going through the Ten Commandments, God demands reverence for His name in a way that it's used in our conversation. Now, God commands that His name is not to be used in vain. The word vain here means empty or vanity. It means to be used in an idle way, an insincere way, a phony way, a lacking reality way, or a lacking truth way. That's what it means. This same word, vain, this same word is used elsewhere to describe vain works, empty works, in Psalm 127:2. It's used in Jonah 2, verse 8, for worthless idols, worthless. And it's also used in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24, for false prophecy. In other words, vain, worthless, false. It's all in this word vain. It carries the idea of using His name in a way that reduces it to almost nothing. To use His name in a worthless way, an empty fashion. It's a forbiddance to speak anything that so much as reflects irreverence for His name. Now, stay with me here. I'm going to give you an outline here in just a moment. One man put it this way: in our ordinary speech and in our religious devotions, nothing must enter that in any wise lowers the sublime dignity and the high holiness of that name. Our thoughts and our speech should fit His name.
In other words, we're not to approach his name, excuse me, we are to approach his name with utmost awe and reverence. Even in Matthew 6, 9, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One commentator put it this way, to use the name of God in a profane, light, or irreverent manner, or to mention it without good reason, tends to lessen the reverence which the soul ought to feel for him, to render it reckless and increasingly wicked, and is a flagrant offense against the ruler of the universe. In other words, we're not to use his name lightly. Can I put it that way? We're not to use it rashly or irreverently or unnecessarily or without weight or sufficient cause. His name is not to be used unless it's in connection with his praise for who and what he is truly worthy of. Let me remind you of something. The scribes would, when they came to the name of God in the writing, in other words, those that were translating the word of God, when they came to the name of God in the writing, they would stop writing. They would thoroughly wash themselves. They would change pens and then write the name of God. In other words, they would not use the same pen that they were using to translate everything. And when they came to the name of God, they would stop. They would wash themselves. They would change pens, get a new pen, before they ever wrote the name of God. Afterwards, they would throw that pen away so that it could never be used to write another word. Look here, please. We have lost this reverence for the name of Almighty God. This has been lost around the world, this reverence, this awe. It's been lost around this country. It's been lost in many homes. It's been lost in many churches. I like what Miss Lashley said. She said it this way, how foolish man becomes when he misuses the name of him on whom each of us is dependent in this life as well as the life to come. You know, now before you think, I've not broken this command. I've not taken the Lord's name in vain. Wait a minute. Let me get through it first and then answer the question. Are we guilty tonight? Now, many times when we think of taking the Lord's name in vain, we think of taking the name of God and adding a curse word to it. And by the way, that is part of it, but there's so much more here. I want to ask you a question. How do people take God's name in vain? I'm going to give you four ways tonight. Four ways. And more than likely, we're all guilty. Number one, they take the name of the Lord in vain, first of all, by careless speech. Let me say it again, careless speech. Now, you're in Leviticus 24. Stay there. I'm almost there to you. Some use the Lord's name in vain in defiance. Amen, right? In other words, they don't care how they use his name, all right? They're just going to just use his name. It doesn't matter to them. They have a defiant attitude. This attitude of not caring what God or anybody else thinks about it. The attitude of standing up to God and swearing just because you want to. And while, now get this, that is one way to take the Lord's name in vain. And while most do not do that here, and most do not do that as far as taking the Lord's name in vain in this fashion, a lot of people do, but maybe most people don't, no doubt. Others, maybe even here, use his name in vain by careless talk. I call it flippant talk concerning his majestic name. Not even being aware that they are taking his name in vain by saying that. Now consider this. Look here, please. And by the way, I know some preachers try to go overboard. I get it. This is not going overboard because this is the name of God we're talking about. Now listen to me, please. Slang language is included in this command not to take the Lord's name in vain. Slang language. Did you understand that the word gosh is a euphemism for God? Stay with me now. Do you understand that the word G? You ever heard somebody, and I'm just doing this for illustration's sake. You ever, gee whiz. Gee, that is a euphemism for Jesus. Look it up, friends, it's what it is. You ever use these words? You ever heard them? See, some people think, as long as I don't say, excuse me now, oh my God, as long as I just say, oh my gosh, it's the same thing in God's eyes. It's the same thing. That's why I call it careless speech. When somebody says, oh my God, or as the world has put it, OMG. By the way, that's what it stands for. If you see your teenager or your child texting OMG, that's what it means, oh my God. Now, I'm not taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm preaching to you to show you and train you against it. Stay with me here. You ever heard this? Goodness. Gracious. You ever heard somebody say, goodness, gracious, what's going on? Look here, please. Who is goodness? Wake up now. Who's goodness? That's God. Who's gracious? That's God. Now, most people who do that, I've probably been guilty of that myself, you know. All I'm saying to you is that those are different ways of taking the Lord's name in vain. You ever heard somebody say, Lordy, Lordy? Lordy, Lordy. That's a useless way to use His name. That's a vain way to use His name. The bottom line is any time you use the name of God or a derivative of it, it is to be used to advance His glory, or it's to be used right here to praise Him, but never just to fill in a sentence. Never as an empty way, a worthless way. Little Mary, attending Sunday school for the first time one Christmas season, she was eagerly listening as her teacher told of the birth of God's Son. She thrilled to the story of the angels and the wise men, the star and the gifts. Then the teacher added, and they shall call His name Jesus. She looked over at the person beside her and she asked, and I quote, why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word? Because it was the first time in her life she had ever heard His name used outside of a curse word. You know, it's a shame that even God's own children are guilty of this by using His name in a worthless fashion in their everyday language. It's been said the heathen have greater reverence for their false gods than we do for the true God. Now, I know it's always quiet in here. I get that. It's okay. Well, maybe not always quiet, you understand, but you're very respectful, listening and all, and I appreciate it. But I do sense a holy hush over the crowd tonight. His name is not to be used in a useless, ungodly way. You're in Leviticus chapter 24. Look at it there. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10. Leviticus 24, verse 10. Notice this now. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. He blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. They brought him unto Moses, verse 12. And they put him inward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp. Let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head. Let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whoso curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Look here, please. I like what one man said here. He said, Leviticus chapter 24, this passage, part of it here, describes what happened to a man who took the name of the Lord in vain. He blasphemed it. Now get this. This person goes on to say, if the Ten Commandments had been enforced on America like they were enforced on Israel, look here please, I'm quoting, every street corner, tennis court, bar room, business office, lunch counter, bathroom, bus station, football stadium, garage, ball diamond, dance hall, restaurant, courtroom, jail, hospital, and traffic light would have a pile of stones by it. I say amen. And he said a pile of stones by it big enough to build a ranch-style house, end quote. Matthew 12, 33 to 37 says this, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, every idle, vain, useless, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word, the word of God says we're going to give account thereof in the day of judgment. A missionary of the Orient witnessed a 20-year-old native approach a heathen god. 20 years old. Think about this now. Not trying to gross you out here, okay? But just think about this. 20-year-old native approached a heathen god, a missionary watching this. He bowed before his heathen god. He quickly pulled out a knife and cut his own tongue out. Placed it before the idol. Within minutes, the young man had collapsed in a pool of his own blood at the idol's feet. In other words, he realized he wasn't using his tongue for his false god's approval. So he cut it out. You listening to me? God doesn't want your tongue cut from your head. But he does want it consecrated. And he does want it dedicated wholly to his worship, his adoration, his glorification. And God help us if we use our tongue to blaspheme and take his name in vain. Number one, people do it by careless speech. Number two, you realize you can take the Lord's name in vain by concealed thoughts. Careless speech, careless talk, just euphemisms, everything else. And then secondly, you can also take his name in vain by your concealed thoughts. Listen to this. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 5, listen to this. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, listen to this, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. In other words, Job understood something. That his boys, which means anybody else, can curse God, take his name in vain, sin against God, even take his name in vain in their heart. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain and it never came out your mouth? It's just in your mind. Do you understand that I submit to you that you do not have to say his name out loud to take it in vain? One can take the Lord's name in vain in their mind. Even though other men cannot hear it and will not hear it, the Lord hears it loud and clear. Concealed thoughts. Let me give you a third one. Aren't you glad I'm going fast on this, right? Number three, casual use. Just casually using the name. What I mean by this, Sunday after Sunday, I'm quoting from somebody here, but I agree with it. That's why I quote him. I agree with it. So what I mean by this is Sunday after Sunday, Christians utter the name of God in songs and in prayers and in testimonies. But often there's no sincerity there. There's no genuine reverence for that name. In other words, it just isn't from the heart. It makes us sound spiritual, so we use it. But you understand that when we invoke the wonderful name of God, we are doing so with meaning and significance. Whenever that name is used, it must be used reverently, respectfully, and from a heart of adoration and worship. Otherwise, it is being used improperly and in vain. Beware, therefore, of the casual usage of God's holy name. You ever sung a song like, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord"? And in your heart, it's like, I don't. Your heart's not in it. You're singing it because you know you look bad if you don't. Look here, please. I would respect somebody more for refusing to sing because they know they don't mean it than to sing like everything's peaches and cream and they know they don't mean it. Look here, please. We need to understand something about this. Let's just take when we sing. This is just one of many ways that, in my opinion, the church, his name's used in vain, just casual usage. Whenever you sing stuff like Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. We sing a chorus like that, is your heart in it? Or is it just, eh? Look here, please. You sing like that and use his wonderful name and your heart's not in it, you're taking his name in vain. You're using it in a useless way. It's not useless what you're saying, but for you, it's meaningless. It's not coming from your heart. By the way, when we sing, who are we singing to? Not to one another. At least we shouldn't be. When we sing to God. We sing to the Lord. We're glorifying him. We're praising his name. And if you say, "Blessed be the name," and you're living like the devil, don't you think he knows that? Amen tonight, friends. Now, I'm telling you, I'm trying to help us here. Hey, God's blessing is upon this church. It is. God is here. We want more of him. You understand what I'm saying to you? More of his impact. We've got all of God that we're going to get in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about more of a manifestation of his power, his influence, his blessings. I want more and more of that. It's limitless. It's endless. There's no stopping that. There's no, in other words, it's not, well, that's all I can do for you. That's it. No. We want more and more of it. One way we get it is we're genuine. We're real. In other words, when you use the name, mean it. Mean it. From your heart, mean it. Because if you don't mean it, don't say it. Don't say it. Number one, careless speech. Number two, concealed thoughts in your mind. Number three, casual use, just using it but not meaning it. It's just out and whatever. Now, nobody says, "Well, I'm just going to sing this. I don't care about it." I'm not saying that, but in your heart, God knows the condition of your heart. Then number four tonight is we see that people take the Lord's name in vain by living a condemning life. I kind of touched on this with casual use, that God sees your heart. Let me just tell you what I mean here. The word of the Lord teaches that one can take the Lord's name in vain by the life he lives. See, when we think that we take the Lord's name in vain by what we say, you're right. It is by what people say, but it's also by how you live. We'll prove this in just a moment. In other words, if our life calls God's reputation into question and it does not give the right revelation of who he is, we are blaspheming his name. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 12, 13 and 14. This is after David's sin with Bathsheba. Here's what he said. "And David said unto Nathan," this is after he's found out, "I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. This is in reference to David's sin with Bathsheba. In other words, David didn't take the Lord's name in vain. David didn't blaspheme the Lord, but David's life caused others to blaspheme the Lord. Do you see that? In other words, when he should have been giving the right revelation of God, because of the life he lived and he yoked up with a married woman, his life condemned the name of God among the heathens. May I put it this way? People are watching us. They're watching how you live, how you talk, how you act, how we treat each other. They're watching that. And everything we do should lift up his name. This is who God is. You get it? But if our life gives a misrepresentation of him, then our life is blaspheming his name. We're using his name in vain because we're living in vain. Listen to this. Romans 2:21-24. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Can I paraphrase this? You're preaching one thing and living another way. You who say you shouldn't steal, why are you stealing? You who say don't commit adultery, why are you committing adultery? Listen to this. After all of those questions, he goes on to say this, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Wow. Wow. In other words, those who preach one thing and live another way. Those who say you shouldn't do that and you're doing it yourself. Those who are just a hypocrite, they know what's right, but they live what's wrong. God told this church that the name of God is blasphemed through them. I'll tell you one thing. I do not want God's name blasphemed by the way I live. I don't want that. I don't want that. And anybody whose heart is right with God would say the same thing that I just said. May I say this to us as well? In a crowd this size, somebody's heart's not right. Because typically speaking, if two people are in a room, probably one of them, their heart's not right. You know, I mean, it just comes with the territory. In a crowd this size, somebody knows right now you're not right with God. And if you're like, does he know about me? Did somebody call him this week? Nobody called me. I don't know anything. You've probably known that for a while, right? He doesn't know anything. What I'm saying to you is this. The way we live either gives the right representation of the majesty due his name, or it takes his name, drags it down, and drags it through the mud. Now, which one are you doing? Alexander the Great got very upset with a soldier because this soldier was a coward and ran away in battle. He was running away from the battle. He confronted this young man and asked him what his name was. This is Alexander the Great. The young man said, my name is Alexander. Now, Alexander the Great's talking to him. What's your name, son? He's a coward running away from the battle, very upset. I'm talking about Alexander the Great. He confronts this young man and says, what's your name? And the man tells him his name. He's got the same name as the general. My name's Alexander. Here's what Alexander the Great said. And I quote, either change your character or change your name. Either change your character or change your name. God help a child of God who's living in a way that does not give the right picture of Jesus Christ and just says, I'm going to do my own thing anyway. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Are you listening to me? If I'm talking to somebody like that, God help you. Because the Bible teaches that those who take the Lord's name in vain, He will not hold guiltless. Is His name worthy of our praise? Has He not earned our praise? Then let's be a child of God that gives Him the praise due His wonderful name. The way we use God's name shows how we really feel about Him. And let us determine with our words, our thoughts, and our life that we're going to bring glory and honor to His name. Even though I gave you four things, they're really divided into those three topics: your words, your thoughts, and your life. What you say, how you think, and what you live, how you live. God says for those who take His name in vain, He's not going to hold them guiltless. Imagine standing before God and defending your profane use of His name. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together." Psalm 66:2, "Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." Let me tell you what brings the blessing of God. Several things, but I'll tell you one thing that does. Is when a church like this, I'm talking about a church setting, a local church like this, unites together for one purpose. And that purpose is not soul winning. That purpose is not reading the Bible. That purpose is not praying. That purpose is not giving. All of those things are byproducts of the purpose. The one thing that brings us together is God Himself. And we want to unite together to exalt His name. And we do that through prayer, through Bible reading, through giving, through soul winning. Get it where I'm going with this? In other words, our service should come out of our worship. You don't serve to worship. You listening to me? You serve out of worship. He is so worthy that you're going to pray to Him. He is so worthy that you're going to read the Bible today. He is so worthy that you're going to give and you're going to tell other people about Him. This is what He desires for His name to be in our life. Something that we say, "You are worthy, O God." So how we talk, how we think, and how we live all says the same thing. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. So I ask you a question. As I'm coming down for a close tonight, are you guilty? Are there some words that you say, "You know, I didn't really think about that"? Yeah, I use that word every now and then, that euphemism. And I see I shouldn't. I'm going to ask God to help me never say it again. And if I do, I'm just going to ask Him to forgive me and help me do better the next day. Aren't you glad God's a merciful, gracious God? Where would we be if God has it? I'm talking about had His stone throwers out, just waiting on a euphemism. And somebody says it, a euphemism, "Stone him, kill him." Aren't you glad we don't live under the law today? Amen. And all we're saying, isn't this appropriate for the day that we had this morning? That tonight we come together and think about His name and just want to praise Him for His goodness and His mercy and His grace. And say, "God, help my talk, help my thoughts, and help my life give the right picture of You and Your precious name. And help me not ever use it in vain." You got it tonight? You got it? This is as we come to the end of this doctrine. So I give you a concluding paragraph, and we're going to pray. Here we go. In this study on the doctrine of God, and I end on page 53, and this will be available to you. If you want all my type notes, you can have it. In this study on the doctrine of God, we have considered both His nature and His names. And while there's no way to fully describe our wonderful God, this study of this doctrine just gives us a glimpse into who and what He is. We who know Him as our personal Savior should rejoice in that He lives in our hearts. And we should praise Him because He truly is all we need. He's all we need. And may the Lord help us see it. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I pray that You'll take this as we come to this close on this great doctrine of the Word of God. The doctrine of You, the doctrine of God. And I pray that You help us in this church to be consistently, constantly just giving You the praise that You deserve. May we never be guilty of taking Your name in vain in what we say, in what we think, and how we live. Now, I'm not going to ask tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask tonight who is guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. That's none of my business. But I will say this. He is worthy from every person on planet Earth to have His name glorified, honored, and praised. In everything we say, in everything we think, and in how we live our lives, let us praise Him, not use His name in vain. Tonight, obviously, every time we preach and extend an invitation, the altar is open for anybody who has never come to Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't even know what I'm talking about, but you'd like to learn more about Jesus and how you can have your sins forgiven and have the peace of God and put your head on your pillow tonight knowing for sure that heaven is your home, then why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel and how you can be saved tonight by trusting Christ and Christ alone. We invite you to do that if we have somebody here like that this evening. The main thought tonight is who among us feels led of God to come to the altar just to praise the name of God. Just to say thank you, God, for who You are, what You are, Your names, Your nature, all of it. I want to get on my face and just say thank You. That You, God, the eternal, omniscient God lives inside of You. The one with that nature, the one with those names, if you're saved, He lives in you. Father, I pray You'll take it and use it. May You turn this truly into a praise meeting. May we praise You for who You are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. As soon as they begin to play through, would you get out of your seat? Some have already responded. Would you get out of your seat and come? And so I just want to come tonight to praise God for who He is. I want to come tonight because of these names that we've been studying, because of the nature that we've been studying. This is my God. My God is the gracious God. My God is a God of mercy, like we preached on this morning. My God is a God with all these wonderful names. And He wants to be praised. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, you don't know Him as your Savior, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. Let us know. I'll ask Brother Gary to begin to sing this very appropriate song. If God wants you to come, come now, would you please?
Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. For his blood can wash away each stain.
They're playing through. If you're seated, I'd like you to look at me for just a moment. Following the Lord here. Just sensing his direction. And I believe the Holy Ghost of God whispered in my heart and said, if I don't get praise from a church like this, where am I going to get it? I want you to think about that. Only God can take what he takes every day of every year. How many times among the world is the name of God dragged through the mud? How many Christians truly praise him? Truly lift him up? If anybody ought to praise the name of God, it should be us. Amen or not? Now the altar's open. We're going to sing through this entire song. Because I believe the Holy Ghost is working tonight. It says that preacher up there, that long southern accent, hey, he's telling you the truth. This is where it's at. Hey, you want to invite the presence of God? Learn to praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. You don't like praising God, you're going to have a hard time in heaven, friends. I got a slight feeling that we're going to be praising him for all eternity. So why don't we get warmed up real nice and good down here on earth? So what we're going to do, we're going to just bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Gary and I are going to sing this. If I can remember the words. If I don't, he'll sing. And if God is on your heart tonight, just to get out of your seat and praise him, come to the altar. You say, I can't come to the altar, but I think God wants me to use my altar, my seat as an altar. Then turn around, get on your knees if you can do that. You say, I can't get on my knees anymore. God knows that. Then bow in your heart. Worship the Lord tonight. This is a great praise song. We give him glory. The altar's open. You come if the Lord's in it. Let's sing it together. Let's start with the first one, Brother Gary. Here we go.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin.
Come on now, the altar's open.
I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
Help yourself tonight.
Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes.
Worship the Lord now in the beauty of holiness.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye for his blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin.
Sing it. Praise him.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
Before we sing this last verse, we're going to have special prayer tonight to end our prayer time for this Christmas program coming up next Saturday, next Sunday. What's the purpose of it? To glorify the name of God.
Right.
Why do we do that? To point people to Him. And people trust Christ as a result of it. It's a byproduct. So if you feel led to come, choir members, instrumentalists, I know some of them are playing now, drama team. If you just feel led to come pray, as we sing this last verse, I want you to get out of your seat, gather here. We're going to have special prayer here in just a moment. As we sing this, you come on now, okay? Let's sing it together. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each sin. Father God, we love You tonight.
Amen.
Thank You for who You are.
Yes.
We give You praise for Your nature and Your names. Remind You tonight just how little we really know. Lord, we can get just a little glimpse of it. And I pray as You've whet our appetite tonight, my, what heaven must be like.
Yes.
When we get to heaven before Your immediate presence, bow on our faces in the presence of Almighty God. I pray that You help us to do that while we're here. May we make ourselves. May we bow before You. Kneel before You.
Yes.
To praise and glorify and honor. We pray especially for this Christmas program coming up. Lord, there's a lot of work being done. Brother Gary and his leadership. The choir and their work. The instrumentalist. The drama team. The sound system guys. The lighting, all of it. Lord, I pray that You will honor Yourself. We want You to know that we are doing this for You. And if anybody's not doing it for You, I pray, Lord God, that You'll forgive them. And may we be united more than we ever have been to bring glory and honor to the name of God. Be with all the invitations. Help people to come. Bring lost people.
Yes.
You speak to their hearts, save them, change them for all eternity.
Amen.
This is the will of God. And I pray, help us to believe. We believe, help our unbelief. Fill us with Your Spirit. Bless every song, the drama team, all of it. The instrumentalist, all of it. May it be smooth for the glory of God. May You touch it. You breathe upon it. May Your will be done. We love You tonight. Thank You for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing this last verse again. I remind all the deacons and wives and families, pastoral staff, wives and families, we're going to meet with you just a little special time over in the gymnasium tonight after church. Make special note of it. We're dismissed. Try to go straight there. If you're going to the home builders class, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes and we'll eat together. Let's all stand together, please. We're going to sing this last verse. This will be our closing prayer. What a great verse it is. Let's sing it as a praise hymn to the Lord, and you can be dismissed. Let's sing it together, shall we? Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each sin. As you're dismissed tonight, let me encourage you that the Christmas program invitations are on the Welcome Center. Grab some of those. Invite people to the Christmas program this Saturday and Sunday. 6:30 Wednesday night for the Christmas dinner. Hopefully you can come out and be with us. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. All deacons, families, all pastoral staff, if I can get you over to the gymnasium as soon as possible, that would be great.